Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT flavored edition. I am El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Adam Blompier.
Hello.
How are you coping with the heat?
I'm sticking to this chair. It's not just Pat McAfee gluing me to my seat this week.
Yes, because that is the main talking point we have is that Pat McAfee, you know Pat McAfee.
Yes.
Famous football player, person, no, talkie man, Pat McAfee. He wore shorts one time to a WrestleMania as part of a suit, no less. That man, Pat McAfee, that guy with the blonde hair and the big sort of sunburnt shoulders, that man, Pat McAfee, he punted Adam Cole, the longest reigning NXT champion, on this week's NXT. And that was the main event angle. That's the thing they've decided that they're going to do with Adam Cole, the longest reigning NXT champion, as his next thing for him to get his heat back after losing the belt to Keith Lee. Pat McAfee, the blonde-haired, I imagine he's got blue eyes, football player, Pat McAfee, punted Adam Cole to close NXT. Here's the show. Well, this is it. This is their big plan for TakeOver Triple X involving Adam Cole.
I'm ready.
Pat McAfee.
Bring me more McAfee. It's what I was missing in my NXT.
I know.
People with radio shows getting physically involved. When's Sam Roberts going to throw down?
Yeah, when he gets more sunburn. That's when he brings the sunburn to NXT. Man, I can't believe that this is what they've gone with.
Bring in Rosenberg. It's his time.
This is the way for Adam Cole to get his heat back. This is it. This is how he's going to do it over Pat McAfee. In an episode in which they really G'd up the return to full force of the Undisputed Era, they had a package at the beginning of the show that sort of said that Carl came back last week, and it really heavily lent on the fact that they were fully reunited. They got a package in the middle of the show that was like, it was about the match with Imperium, but featured no Imperium beyond their music and was just about how many times the Undisputed Era have won championships and been tag team championships. If they'd won this match with Imperium, it would have been their fourth reign as the NXT tag team champions. Really G'd them up, really bigged them up. And then the whole thing was actually about Pat McAfee. And they tried to play us like that wasn't what was going to happen, because he turned up in a match before that to sit on the commentary desk with Phillips. So it was like, he just happens to be here. You've tricked me, NXT. I'm never going to get it. This was horse shit. And I'm going to go back and beat that, because this, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh no. Like, you know, I knew they were building into an angle from the clip of his show where Adam Cole sort of popped off at being called short. And I was like, that's fine. Do you know what? Like a really short little angle with them might be fine.
It
might
just
be-
Short, is it?
Yeah. Hey. A quick little thing, a tete-a-tete between the two.
Oh my God, are you going to bring us some PR by punting Adam Cole in the head? Yeah. Are you starting a feud with Adam Cole right now?
Start a feud with Adam Cole.
I'm going to start a feud with Roderick Strong. Roderick Weak, more like. Come at me. Yeah.
With your perfect platonic family. Like, oh,
idiot.
I hate you, you dork. And this whole thing just feels like a PR stunt. And you know what? Like, it works because it's going to have people like us saying what a load of rubbish it is. But it just made me not care about this match. And this was a match that had a lot of potential. Imperium are very, very good. Undisputed Era, we haven't seen Fish and O'Reilly back together working together as a tag team for a very long time on NXT. And, you know, like, there were some really good little moments, but I've made barely any notes about the match because so much of it was just McAfee whinging on about Adam Cole and everyone being like, you're only 20 feet away from him. And then Adam Cole comes over and is like, I'm only 20 feet away from you. It's like everyone knows exactly how far 20 foot is in NXT. So like the only bits about the match that I've made notes on is Kyle O'Reilly hitting his ultra combo as he comes in on a hot tag and just nails Bartel, and then he dragon screws everyone into oblivion. And there was this was the standout moment of the match. He hits dragon screws on everyone. He gets Bartel in a sort of ankle lock. As Bartel crawls to get to the ropes, Fish just drops a headbutt on him, which gives Kyle the opportunity to drag him back into the center of the ring.
Why are you talking about the match, Laurie?
I'm sorry.
Get to the interesting bit. We're all here.
I want to say that there was wrestling in this really good match. Like he's doesn't really matter. Upset. It does matter.
It doesn't.
This is the thing. It does matter. Please say it does matter.
Pat went off on one. And there was Beth left the worth. Commentary table because she couldn't handle it. She wasn't even at the commentary table. She hung up a Skype call.
She closed her browser. Oh my God. Yeah. So, do you know what?
It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what wrestling happened. Some wrestling happened, but it was mostly. Eventually, Adam Cole had heard too many jibes at his size, his baby body or whatever it was. He's got the child's body with a really big head. That was one. So then Adam Cole walks over, gets in McAfee's face and then chucks a bottle of water at him, which is the worst thing that you can do in wrestling.
Oh, you don't.
As we all know. Do that. And you know what? As soon as the water was spilled, Shawn Michaels, veteran wrestler Shawn Michaels, knowing full well that people tend to pop off when the liquids are spilled, got right in there to break it up. And they just started having a go at each other for a good little while. They got separated. Triple H was there separating them. They tried to walk McAfee out of the building. And then he decided to walk back over, get right in Adam Cole's face and says, if nothing is going to change, then for the rest of life, you're going to be a tiny, itty bitty short bitch.
Yeah.
And then as Cole tries to climb across the announce table to get him, McAfee just punts him.
Now, to be fair, I'm sure Pat McAfee could kick my head off. He seems like a stronger man than I, but he's also, crucially, a podcaster. And you shouldn't have podcasters decking your world champions.
No.
It just feels like a golden rule, doesn't it?
And do you know what? He walks out of there and they make this whole deal about it. And he says on the way out, like, oh, this is a very unprofessional working environment. And then it cuts and the show ends with Adam Cole motionless on the floor and Shawn Michaels kneels over him and is like, Hunter, is anyone actually calling a doctor?
You know what? McAfee's right. This place is a shambles.
I mean, yeah, they had all the officials there and not one person has started administering first aid. One of those guys must be trained in first aid. It must be a rule that you have to have someone at ringside who knows it. I absolutely
hate this.
I hate it so much. I can't believe that this is what they've decided will be. Like, this is the biggest takeover for since 20, I guess, like whatever the 20th takeover was, or since, like, I don't know, this it feels like a real milestone in NXT. And I know it's happening during lockdown, and it's, you know, it's happening during a really odd period for wrestling, but this does feel like a really big deal for NXT. And this is what they've chosen for Adam Cole to be doing. You know, the best we can hope for is this is what he's doing just in the run-up. Hopefully something else happens on the show, but this is going to be a match on that show.
Oh. We've got how many NXTs left until Triple X?
Two, yeah.
Sure. I mean, like, what? Yeah, what's the end product? Is it a match? Is it Cole McAfee? Is that the match where McAfee's going to turn up wearing what all non-wrestlers turn up wearing, which is some black oversized jogging bottoms and like a black oversized shirt. And either Cole's going to beat him or worse, they're going to set up Cole's next challenger by having interference and having Cole then feud with him and having McAfee win. The possibilities are endless. I loved it, but from a purely Schadenfreude perspective, like, I know I should be like you, Laurie. I should, you know, my monocle should be popping out of my eye socket and I should be saying, but this is most unorthodox, but I can't help it. I haven't stopped giggling about it all day. Pat McAfee punted Adam Cole to death. He's going to be part of Randy Orton's new stable. He's killed the legend that is Adam Cole.
Pat McAfee's going to be doing interviews for his big takeover match in one of those cut-off short suits that he wears to do all of the bloody pre-show bollocks he does for WWE.
The longest running NXT champion in NXT history.
And this is what they came up with him. Do you know what? Like, I think they really did. They've been listening to what we've been saying about the Undisputed Era for the last few weeks. We've been saying that they've done everything in NXT and there isn't really anything else for them to do except this. Do you know what? They had to dig deep, but they found the thing that Adam Cole hadn't done yet, which is getting punted
in the bottom of the drawer
by Pat McAfee.
Is this punishment for Cole and McAfee doing this angle? But like, Cole went on Pat McAfee's show and the story goes that Cole did this angle to try and get some publicity and didn't run it past the right challenge of WWE. Is this their punishment that McAfee punks out Cole on live TV?
But also in the process completely craps on returning Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, who got so distracted by the water throwing, the super soaker fight happening at ringside that they lost the match.
They did lose.
Retain. They did a European bomb and won. There was some wrestling that we should be talking about, but no, we are instead talking about Pat McAfee's big old hams clocking Adam Cole in the mush in his big baby's head and knocking him out cold. And Shawn Michaels not quite knowing how to administer CPR.
What's the draw?
This is an episode as well, mind you, that in the middle section had one of the coolest little vignettes that I've seen in a long, long while. And a real like tone setter as well with the Keith Lee, Karrion Kross bit, which we'll talk about in a moment. And this is how they chose to end it. Like, I feel like the Karrion Kross thing felt like the finish. That should have been the finish of the show. And instead they did this like Karrion Kross has wiped out the entire backstage area. He's killed Danny Burch, as far as we know. And then we just immediately cut to the Undisputed Era being like, oh yeah, up next, Undisputed Era, something, something, something. No, it's Pat McAfee.
I do want to point out, right, long-term booking on this show. We did talk about what would happen after this main event last week. Promises were made. And I think it's time we just had a little bit of a recap of what happened last week.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to win the tag match next week. If they do, I will eat a banana, skin and all.
And if they don't win, I'll put my willy in the toaster.
Well, I've already done that. So, how do you think you get a bagel out of the toaster, Adam?
I noticed you came into this video with a lot more energy, a lot more vim than usual.
Yeah. I'm in incredible pain. This is why I keep banging on about Shawn Michaels and the CPR. I'm waiting for someone to call me my doctor.
Should we move on?
Yes, I think so. I think in summation, Adam is happy because this is the kind of goofy wrestling that you love.
I'm not happy. You seem alive. I feel alive, Laurie.
Adam thinks this is the greatest wrestling storyline of the year. He said as much to me before we came on air. I think this is a waste of space, absolute bollocks. But do you know what? Like, it was an interesting moment and something different for the Undisputed Era. We'll see, I guess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
The show in full started off with Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai, which is the number one contendership match for the NXT Women's Championship. It felt like it was going to be one of those ones where, oh no, Dakota Kai will... Dakota Kai was going to need help to win this. They weren't going to let Dakota Kai win clean against Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley has been booked strong throughout. And lo and behold, Mercedes Martinez gets involved in this match because the Robert Stone brand later in the show revealed that Rhea Ripley might be done with them, but they're not done with Rhea. Good little match, this. I really, really liked it. I think the two worked really well together. They played up the kind of power advantage that Rhea Ripley had over Kai really well. Rhea's main tactic was drop Kai on her own face. Yeah. Over and over, there was electric chair drops in the ring, outside the ring, onto the apron. It was all electric chair. She thought she was Corey Graves. There was just something that I think there was more in this match that we could have got out of it. And I think it was actually really nice to see Dakota go toe-to-toe with Rhea in a non... like without Raquel Gonzalez in her corner, because I think Dakota has always had that kind of feeling. She's either been like a massive underdog when she was on a babyface run, or she's been the heel with backup. And she's never really got a chance to prove herself against somebody of Rhea's caliber in a fair fight. So aside from the finish, obviously giving her the win in a kind of protecting Rhea type way, it was really, really nice to see Dakota being given proper time on NXT TV to show what she can do against like that top tier in the women's division.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because they, I'm just thinking about Pat McAfee still. It's a difficult one. They absolutely had this be a one-sided match for the most part. I think maybe Kai had one move where she like managed to alley-oop Rhea and then got her in like a rest hold. And then pretty much the whole match was Rhea. So I don't know how much it kind of sets up an excitement factor for Kai versus Shirai. I feel like there needs to be an extra element to Kai's game to make us feel like, oh, something actually might happen at TakeOver. The story here was very clear. Rhea Ripley is a better wrestler than Dakota Kai. Look at her, destroy her. Mercedes Martinez had to get involved in order to make it be a difference maker. And obviously Raquel Gonzalez, apparently, according to the comments from last week's video, Raquel Gonzalez is being prepped for main roster and isn't like, and her and Kai have officially broken up, which I didn't clock. So that's some good visual storytelling there, WWE. And
people just disappear from NXT all
bye Chelsea,
they just disappear. It's not you know, and they made a storyline out of that, and it's called Legado del Fantasma, and that's what's happened.
They're maybe just, or Carrion got to
they've one, got yeah. they've gone to Manchester like they do in EastEnders.
To that great Manchester in the sky.
Yeah.
I feel like the only thing that I think wasn't successful about this match, because Dakota Kai got the win, that's cool. I'm not sure, short of injuring Io Shirai before the match, I'm not sure how kind of we make an interesting takeover match out of this. But I feel like Dakota Kai is on the rise, and I think we think a lot more of her capabilities as a result of the takeover match. It's just that I feel like it was a little bit one-sided, but you know, she does have the big takeover spot, so cool. She's
a classic first big takeover defense for the champion to win, right? Like she's in the Dolph Ziggler role, that where you're going to go into this thinking, yeah, she's never going to win, and then hopefully throughout the course of the match Dakota will convince us that there was a glimmer of hope there, and then Io Shirai hits a moonsault and it's all done. I really like Dakota Kai as the first choice of challenger for Io Shirai. I do wish they had put more effort into trying to make her look strong. I wonder if they're going to do that by doing something with the Robert Stone brand, but I feel that kind of muddies the waters with the Mercedes Martinez joining up with them, because you don't want her to immediately just go from being like the headliner of that brand to being the muscle of the brand, and Dakota being the face of the brand, if you like, and then Aaliyah somewhere down the backing dancer. I don't know where she fits into that role.
If between takeovers we
the
go
third
from
girl in steps or whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Between takeovers, we go from Robert Stone being pissed up to owning the NXT Women's Championship in a huge stable. That would be quite the glow up for Robert Stone. I don't think so. Martinez versus Ripley is the feud, and I'm excited for that feud. That is going to be fun.
I feel like that's probably going to get higher billing on TakeOver if that does happen as well. Like, you know, then we got Bronson Reed versus Shane Thorne, which was fine. Like, it was a perfectly serviceable little match. I forget how good Shane Thorne is, and he's just never used.
No, it's not his time. It feels so sad that he's really, really good. Like that senton, that Tope senton, it's gorgeous.
And he hit this crazy set of moves in the corner when they came down off the top and Reed was stuck sort of hanging off the top rope, and Thorne hits a huge boot and runs back round and hits a flipping cannonball into him, and then runs back around as he sort of flops off and then just hits him with the Shining Wizard. Shane Thorne is great, and like, he felt like he was really going places. They teamed him up with Brendan Vink for a bit, and then they went to Raw, and they were on Raw for a very brief period of time, and now Shane Thorne's just back in NXT as if nothing happened, and yeah, being used to put over Bronson Reed, who obviously needs a little bit of fire going into the ladder match, which is fine. It's perfectly good use of him. I also noticed that Thorne had the word Kuma written on his wrist tape. I don't know if he's just like a mad big Tekken fan, but it popped me. We then saw Breezango being attacked by Legado del Fantasma backstage, and they kidnapped Fandango. Later in the show, they dragged Fandango to the ring, and Santos Escobar was chatting about basically the fact that the, you know, Breezango have sort of offended the culture of being a luchador by wearing their masks to the ring. And they said, like, every week we're coming out here and proving that lucha libre is a legitimate art form, not just a cheap means to make money through merchandise. And people like Breezango take the mickey. They put Dango's down in the ring, and then Breeze slides in, tries to get involved, gets the classic three-man beatdown, the what's now known as the Drake Maverick. and they pile him up in the ring, and Santos Escobar says, look, this is an example of, if you say my name, this is what's going to happen to you. You know, Swerve Scott, who's been calling me out. And it seems like we're heading into Phantasma versus Swerve Scott. Possibly a takeover. I think that'd be such a good match.
I really like this. You've got before Tyler Breeze's excellent idea, and you've got after Tyler Breeze's excellent idea.
Yeah, we've got two bodies now.
By the way, Laurie, it is my birthday coming up on the 24th of August, the day after SummerSlam. If you are looking for something to get me, I know that you were asking around in the office.
Is it a snazzy jacket?
It's that jacket, yeah. Oh, could I have that, please?
Yeah, I'm sure we could. Well, we've got to get Ollie's jacket back first, the long-running story that we dropped ages ago. Oh, yeah. And then we can get you that jacket, yeah. Okay, but that is a gorgeous garment. Then we got Damien Priest versus Oney Lorcan versus the debuting Ridge Holloway from Yorkshire. He's a Peaky Blinder coming out of his cudgel. He's got a flat cap. He's got a coat, the pockets of which are full of Yorkshire puddings. Travellers, he calls them. Travellers. what a gimmick. This is Luke Menzies, who had one match on NXT where he lost to Keith Lee in one of Keith Lee's only wins back in the dark days of Keith Lee's run in NXT, the one where he was complaining, like, I don't get to do anything, and it's too. And then they were like, you do the Dijak match, do the Dijak match. And now look where we are. Here so we are. I don't really get there wasn't much to grab onto about Ridge. It was just a sort of clumsy appropriation of a bunch of tropes, and that's fine.
He's fine. Like, he's good in the ring. Like,
it was
pretty good.
It's just an interesting way to debut a character to me, because it's just like, in a triple threat match, doesn't really give them time to hit a lot of their moves. Like, I think he composed himself really well here. He looked really good. He's bloody strong.
Mm. He's got those shoulders.
Yeah, it was that bit where he just...
Those are McAfee shoulders.
Oof. He just grabs Lorcan at one point and just goes, okay, belly to belly overhead. And then Priest runs in and starts trying to fling punches at him. And he's like, got your arm, got your other arm, overhead, belly to belly. He is really like a physical specimen. He looked really, really good. But yeah, I'd like to see more of like, what does he want from life? Who is he? You know what I mean? Like, beyond obviously he wants a whippet, like, but like, what else does he want?
He wants to control that family that were after the other family in Peaky Blinders. You know,
he wants gravy on 90% of his meals. But what does he want, Adam, is what I want to know.
I don't know. I like the match. I'm trying to think of Northern things, but you've got all of them. It's really not. Okay. Is Stotty Northern or is that Scottish? Stotty, that feel like... What was the one which is like a deep fried load of like stuff? It's like a
stuff.
It looks like a deep fried scone. You know, the sort of things they eat in the northern mining towns.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He does. It's got all your vital nutrients in it.
He does look like the walking embodiment of a Greggs.
He's a steak bake.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm
good, and we're going to get to see more of him, because this is where the confusing aspect of the North American title ladder match comes in, because Damien Priest manages to win this match. There's a sort of big collision in the center of the ring. Ridge Holland turns Lorcan inside out of a clothesline, gets a choke bomb from Priest, and then Priest picks up the downed Lorcan, hits the Reckoning, and wins the match. This is all really good stuff. They all worked really well together. I really loved I think my favorite bit was Lorcan slapping, like holding Priest's hair and just slapping him on the back of the neck.
Is that what gave him the welt? Do you see the bump on his head? Like, look, like you can't really see it from this picture. You can maybe, like, it's just below his right eye. Bloody hell. I think it was that from Lorcan just accidentally cracking him around the side of the head.
I wonder if the double blockbuster like knocked everyone's heads together. Like,
maybe.
I don't know. He was really puffed up at the end of that. But yeah, so this will happen. So Priest is in the ladder match. Dexter Lumis is not in the ladder match because he's now injured. There'll be another one next week, which was said to be Kushida and Cameron Grimes and a mystery opponent. So expect mystery opponent to win that match. And then we had a little bit of William Regal later on saying, oh, I've had some complaints from Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano because they didn't win their matches. And I think they've got a legitimate claim to having another shot to get into this match, which just means we ran out of men. So
the mid card wasn't as deep as we thought it was.
Exactly. Boyd. So what they're going to do instead is all the people who weren't pinned or submitted in their matches are going to have singles matches to determine the last two places. So it will be Ridge and it will be Johnny and Finn, and then whichever of Kushida and Grimes doesn't get pinned or submitted next week. This is me assuming that the mystery opponent is going to win. I just feel like if there's a mystery opponent, they must win. It's Pat McAfee. I've just realized it's Pat McAfee.
He's going to do what Kurt Angle did with Shawn Michaels. He's going to recreate all of Adam Cole's accomplishments, but faster. He's going to win the North American Championship in a ladder match. Then he's going to go on and he's going to squash Karrion Kross at the next takeover. He's going to become a double champion.
I hate it so much. I hate it.
Oh, he's going to bring in a four-man stable called the Patriarchy, and they'll tear the place apart. He's so big. Look at him. He's like if Ridge Holland ate Ridge Holland. What a huge draw. Look at that. He laid out. He's the longest running NXT champion of all time.
I know.
With one kick.
One kick.
Oof. Oh, take my money. Take my money.
Take my money.
What have AEW got?
Please take my money so I can no longer afford my WWE Network subscription. Thank you. Bloody hell. So the ladder matches has become a huge farce, and now we definitely think that Pat McAfee might be in it. This is probably my favorite moment of the show, though, which was around the midpoint. You got Keith Lee versus Cameron Grimes. It was a match in which Keith Lee manhandled Cameron Grimes, as you would expect.
Although Grimes got in quite a bit of offense, I thought. Like that bit where Lee tries to kind of cross-body him and Grimes just flips him round. I thought Grimes showed off quite a little bit in this match.
Yeah, he hits the collision course. He does a bunch of like wicked roll-ups as well out of like the Big Bang Catastrophe and puts his feet on the ropes, does a lot of, you know, being cheeky. The best moment was the Grizzly Magnum moment where he shuts him down with a Grizzly Magnum, and then Grimes gets up and he keeps going for it. And he keeps, obviously his frame data is not as good as Cameron Grimes, who keeps hitting him with little punches. And then Keith's just like, no, I'm still going to do it. Boom. And knocks him down again. And then maintains wrist control with a bunch of short arm clotheslines, spirit bomb, whole thing ends. These two have really good chemistry, I think.
I wrote that in my notes. I wrote, these guys have a takeover match in them, and takeover is in all caps, because, yeah, I think these guys could properly go. Also, Keith Lee won with the spirit bomb, which he doesn't do nearly enough. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super keen on Cameron Grimes, and I think actually the new annoying version of Cameron Grimes they found is my favorite version of Cameron Grimes. I would quite like to see him win the ladder match and become North American champion. I think he would be really funny with it, and I think there's a lot you could do, especially with him trying to like weasel out of North American title opportunities for other people. That I think there's a lot in there. But yeah, so Keith Lee is posing at the end of this match, having just beat Cameron Grimes. All of the lights go out, and then we start to hear what I'm assuming is Czech on the Scala talking in Czech. And then we cut into Cameron Cross, Karrion Kross in really close up.
Cameron Cross.
He says, you want to do this the hard way. All of this is on you.
I declare.
I have not seen Mr. Regal around here since he signed me, so you've got to make something happen. And until then, we're doing this the hard way. And it cuts, and he's got Danny Burch in a chokehold and like foam is coming out of Birch's mouth. He drops him, and the scene behind him is absolute devastation. This is the presentation of Karrion Kross that I wanted to see. I just feel like it should have been the end of the show, and it should have been the last. And like, it would have been even more powerful if they'd have gone like rushed backstage and then found the devastation and seen everyone like battered and bruised and bloodied, because instead it was sort of like the commentary was so clearly on a we need to get to the next thing, because we've got quite a lot to get to. We've got Pat McAfee coming up, for Christ's sake. To get there as quickly as possible.
The main event is here. It's waiting.
He's in the wings. He's ready to commentate the Tegan Knox match. And so it felt a little bit abrupt to jump out of this, and I don't think anyone gave it quite the gravitas. This was like 5-6 people that he destroyed backstage were all lying, beaten up and bloodied and hanging off things. And yeah, the commentary were very much like, oh, it looks like Karrion Kross is pretty cross. Keith Lee's going to want to do something about that, eh?
Yeah, I really wanted like hushed tones, like people rushing to the back, you know, Tom Phillips putting his headset off and rushing to the back, you know, JR, you know, when Stone Cold got hit by the car, just rushing to the back. Just like people, you kill people.
It needed
really
a bit
fun.
Of gravitas, right? Like it needed, like it felt, I think the presentation of it to literally until the segment ended was good, but they just didn't, they should have just continued it out, and they should have, rushed to the back, seen everyone down, and really hammed it up, I think, in this sense, and like gave it some stakes, because it felt like, one, it felt like Keith Lee wasn't bothered. It felt like commentary wasn't that bothered. How far does Karrion Kross have to go to get people to just get a rise out of people? You know, like he's already murdered Dijak. And Keith Lee was, you know, pretty peeved. He's now murdered Danny Burch and all this other stuff. And what they've done, instead of like being like, wow, he's really gone too far this time, they've instead booked him in a match with Danny Burch. He's beat Danny Burch and 5 people backstage where there's no rules.
No, let's wait until the outcome of the match. Danny Burch might win. And then I assume Danny Burch gets to face Keith Lee at TakeOver Triple
X. Yeah, exactly. And you have to eat a banana.
If
Danny Burch wins the match, I'll eat a banana and you can put your penis in the toaster.
Fine. You've got yourself a deal.
God, it's getting weird on the NXT podcast.
They told us to jazz it up. We're jazzing it up.
They said we needed steaks. Steak bakes. Okay, so yeah, and then we had the Regal announcement about all of that stuff. We got the Legado del Fantasma segment. We then got Tegan Knox versus Indy Hartwell, which was a perfectly fine showing for Tegan Knox, who, I don't know, like looked a bit disinterested in this match. Like it felt very going through the motions-y.
I would probably be disinterested if the whole purpose for your match existing is to get over the fact that Pat McAfee's a knob on commentary. Like the only reason this match happened is so that Tom Phillips and Pat McAfee could have a little conversation about Pat and Cole burying the hatchet whilst not directly talking over a tag match. So no, they basically just, it was one of those things where it's just like, oh, let's just bring it. It's like when they did Great Balls of Fire, where they had like Kurt Hawkins and like Zack Ryder go out and wrestle so that they could do the whole Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns ambulance stuff and just film that without sacrificing like anyone they cared about in the ring, which I think Tegan Knox is better than. Don't know about Indy Hartwell.
Indy Hartwell was in the job spot here, but Tegan Knox just reacted to this as if this was what it was. And like, even when she won, she was getting on the turnbuckles and just being like,
really lazily pointing to people in the crowd and be like, yeah. And then she did, you know, her little plane thing that she does. She did that half-heartedly. Like, it was like EC3 going from his like debut pointing at his own name to his like later.
You look like the sexy dancers from Raw Underground.
Yeah, the sexy dancers, which I described to Luke Owen earlier as if it was like, it was a Fight Club, as if a Fight Club had been involved in one of the Pitch Perfect movies. That's the level of grittiness they managed to achieve. Absolute useless. But yeah,
it's been a hell of a week for wrestling.
Oh, mate. It has been. It has been an incredible week for WWE programming. The constant trying of new things.
Innovation. Yeah, I get
innovation.
I get you.
Innovation has not worked out for them once this week, I don't think. Overall, this week's NXT, I think, fine. It's probably my review was fine. I love the Keith Lee Karrion Kross thing. I wish it had been given more time. The triple threat match was really, really good. The opener between Dakota Kai and Rhea Ripley was great. The Garda del Fantasma doing really good work again. I'm so annoyed at the main event and the finish of that. I really can't put into words how much I dislike Pat McAfee.
Mate, I can't wait for next week. That's the thing, is because I like, if they don't follow up on it, then it will be objectively terrible. Then it's just like WCPW, like, oh, get a celebrity in for it to quickly pop a rating, and then nothing will come from it. But I can't wait to see what happens next. Just like if they start NXT,
he's going to be the North American champion. This is it. They wanted to, this is the thing. My problem is that I don't have a very good sense of Pat McAfee as a person outside of WWE. Like, he's famous for, like, he's a football player, right?
He wore those shorts at WrestleMania.
That's pretty much all I remember. But like, I think he's like, he's fairly famous, right? So you've got, they're clearly trying to shoehorn in someone famous for TakeOver XXX. Don't Google it to try and pop that rating. I think they should have doubled down on the XXX thing. That would have got me. that would have got more hits for me, I think, than trying to be like, here's Pat McAfee in his tiny shorts. His smart casual shorts to ruin things with obnoxious commentary and hosting. I don't know, mate.
Yeah, he's a real, like, it's good. If he was a heel, it would be the amount of heat he's gotten would be the greatest possible benefit. Because Adam Cole's a face now by default, because Pat McAfee's such an objectionable ass hammer. It's just that, will this be something that Cole can actually use at TakeOver? No, probably. I don't. Well, who knows? Is Pat McAfee going to wrestle? Because apparently he was a football punter. Apparently, his position when playing with the Colts in 2014, according to his Wikipedia page, is punter. So there you go. He did that thing too.
So he did what he's best at.
Yeah.
Next week, Johnny Wilkinson's going to come out and kick Ridge Holloway's head off.
Yeah. I don't know what happens. What happens next? I'm intrigued, Laurie. It may be a car crash, but I am intrigued. And like,
Pat, I hate McAfee watching accidents in slow motion. I hate it.
Like, he's going to be on Twitter now. Like he's good at being obnoxious. It's just that, will this translate into views, buy rates, money, a match? What's the end goal of this, other than Pat McAfee gets to be a little entertainingly obnoxious on Twitter for a bit? What else do we get?
Exactly. You need to translate that into some sort of, like, you need to take that energy and put it somewhere. And is that into Adam Cole's babyface run? Like, you know, does him winning at TakeOver over Pat McAfee really give him the steam to be like, wow, he's a legit babyface now? Because I think he could have just come out and not been sneaky, and everyone would have just been like, ah, yeah, babyface, that's fine. You know, like, Adam Cole is the kind of person he's had 5-star matches where there was no trickery or cheating or whatever, and he's won the NXT championship and retained the NXT championship off the back of those matches. he doesn't need to be punted by a pundit in order to, you know, like really cement him as a good guy that we should all be behind, because he's a little bit shorter than the average man in WWE. I think he's like perfectly normal sized for regular people. I'm so confused. I hate it so much.
Wrestling at its finest. No idea what happened at AEW, nor will I.
No, I'm not going to look it up. I'm happy with what I've been given, thank you.
NXT for life.
Well, that's all we've got time for, talking about NXT. Please click the videos that have appeared on screen right now to watch more awesome wrestling stuff. There's also a button on screen that will make you a pledge hammer on Patreon, where you can get even more WrestleTalk content, including WrestleTalk Extra. We talk about retro pay-per-views. I can't remember what was on the list of what's winning currently, the poll for thingy.
SummerSlam 2010 and SummerSlam 2002. One very good one, one very bad one.
Which one would you like to see? Well, if you're a patron, you can swing that vote by making your vote count. And that is, yeah, so please also like the video if you liked what we've been talking about. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Leave us a comment down below letting us know what you thought of Pat McAfee punting Adam Cole, the longest reigning NXT champion in the history of the brand, on the show. Wrestling.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
I hate him so much.
What's your problem with Pat McAfee?
He's like, well, I think that's the thing. He's presented as an annoying asshole, and that's fine, but it doesn't make me want to see him wrestle Adam Cole. Like, he's not. I like when people are presented annoyingly. Like, Cameron Grimes is presented as an annoying asshole, but he's got the skills in the ring to back it up. I'd rather see. Why didn't they give, like, it would have been quicker and easier for me to get this over with me if they'd given Cameron Grimes a podcast and then spent a year with him doing a podcast and then had Adam Cole go on the podcast.
I would subscribe to Grime Time, the Grime Time podcast, in a heartbeat. Just having him just like Rush Limbaugh crowing about all the news and decrying liberal snowflakes in that horrible foghorn leghorn voice that he has. I would be up for that. I'm hoping, obviously, that at TakeOver we get Cole versus McAfee. And it's like, you remember that John Cena Michael Cole match, which ended with Michael Cole being covered in barbecue sauce?
Yes.
I hope we get that. That would be nice. That's what I think of when I think of TakeOver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's what, some of the highest rated wrestling shows in modern history. I really can see Adam Cole picks up the biggest bottle of water that he can find and drowns Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee dies from the drowning in this bottle of water, and everyone goes, oh my God, Shawn Michaels is there going, 10 minutes too late. Are we calling a doctor? Is that what we're doing? You guys, Hunter, have we called a medic? Is anything happening? Or are we just escorting Pat McAfee off the property?
I'd love it if next week's show just begins with Shawn Michaels and Adam Cole on the floor, and Shawn's just like, oh, they're taking the piss now. I really thought they'd be here. God, the traffic. It's, what do you do with Adam Cole to make him be Adam Cole again after this? Does he just murder Pat McAfee in does he just shoot him dead and then maybe move on to some other takeover match? Like, do you just run him against Ciampa quickly? Maybe. Yeah, well,
this is it. This felt like this pre-SummerSlam takeover really felt like the time to be like, what's your decision regarding Adam Cole and the main roster guys? Because now's the time to do it. He's just lost the biggest prize in the company. He's kind of done it all. He's probably achieved everything he's going to achieve. And putting him on a Raw or a SmackDown really does add some superstar power over there when they most need it. I would want to save his debut for in front of fans anyway. So, you know, I'd drag it out till WrestleMania. Because imagine that Raw after WrestleMania with just an Adam Cole baby. That's fine. But this did feel like we're at the close of Adam Cole's NXT run before they decide he goes off and becomes the greatest intercontinental champion in WWE history, probably. And it just feels like, what is this choice? What are the other matches in NXT that we've not seen Adam Cole do that we could have, you know, built to as a takeover exhibition thing? Like, you know, a really good long one-on-one with Finn Balor would have been great. I would have loved to see that. You know, I know he's been against Finn before, but like a really, you know, without a schmoz finish would have been great. I would have loved to see him go against Gargano again, even though we've seen it to death. Him against Ciampa again. Him against Keith Lee is just a run back would have been awesome because those two had great chemistry. Him and Dijak. Him and Karrion Kross. There's so many options, and they've gone with
Robert Stone. No.
We have to find him against some...
Robert Stone. We haven't had Cole versus Robert Stone yet.
I think it could be good. I think it could be better than Pat McAfee. I think, yeah, there's him and Damian Priest. Like, there are so many options in NXT for Adam, like the final bit of Adam Cole that we're going to get if you know, the rumors are to be believed that he's moving up.
Pat, you know, McAfee, how everyone loses their last match in NXT?
Yeah, and you have to put over the guy on the way out.
Yeah, and you stand in the middle of the ring and everyone says, thank you, so he's just going to watch, just kind of gesture to the NXT logo on the floor. After Pat McAfee gets the biggest win of his sporting career.
Pat McAfee, who doesn't even come out to music, he just comes out to the sound of his own podcast. Like, I don't know what the point of this is, because it doesn't feel like an attraction that's going to sell me on a takeover. I don't know how popular Pat McAfee actually is, but and I also just don't know where you put that energy. This is the outro of the show, by the way. We've just carried on talking about the wrestling, which we don't normally do. So you can see, I guess, how passionate Pat McAfee has made us all, for good or for ill. So that's it. Yeah, that's all we've got time for really on this podcast. But if you want to hear more Pat McAfee, check out my Twitter, or Adams. You've got the magazine show coming up on Friday. AEW should be out now as well. And then you've got SmackDown on Saturday. And we are very, very close to a bumper period for wrestling and a bumper period for our podcast, because we've got TakeOver XXX coming up. We've got SummerSlam. We've got All Out. We've got Payback as well, which is the week after SummerSlam?
Yeah.
It is a very, very busy time for the WrestleTalk gang.
SummerSlam, Payback, All Out. 3 weeks.
Oh, oofta. Yeah. I'm going to have so much time in lieu.
I tell you what, you've got some predictions to edit, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
You are good.
I've been given the schedule for when the predictions are happening. And we will, we'll have all of those as well for you. So, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.